Welcome to those of you who are gathered here to worship with us this morning, and good morning to those of you who are worshipping with us via the live stream, and I suppose hello to those of you who are using this service for your own worship at some later time via the wonders of the internet. Inevitably, there are some notices. But the first one is really important. We are now in that period of time when the church thinks we've had Ascension Day, we've remembered Jesus returning to heaven, and we are awaiting Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in order to help us pray during that waiting period, there are two booklets, and I do hope that many of you have already picked up these two booklets. If not, they are still available at the back of the church. There is a small amount to read from each book each day. It only takes a couple of minutes, and then about 10 minutes pondering on it maybe, but it is quick and easy and can be fitted into everybody's day at one place or another. If you've taken the books home and they're still sitting under a pile of old newspapers or something, do dig them out, do use them. They are really good. And as I say, it's a short bit each day. The only thing I would warn you is that one of them has numbers 1 to 9 for the 9 days between Ascension and Pentecost. The other has numbers 1 to 11 because it includes Ascension Day and Pentecost Sunday. So if you're on day 3 in this one, you're on day 4, they are differently numbered, so be aware. It does take a bit of getting your head round. But apart from the numbering, they are brilliant. That's the Thy Kingdom Come booklets. If you haven't got them, get one. If you've got it and you're not using it, let me encourage you to use it. And then we have got a prayer room set up down at St. Andrew's for private prayer. And do feel free to go down there and use that room for your private prayers. We're also trying to hold 36 hours of continuous prayer from Friday evening through to Sunday morning. And that will be in the prayer room down at St. Andrew's, so please sign up for a 1-hour slot and spend some time with God. Other things that are happening this week: praying round the world at St. Andrew's tomorrow evening, prayer through music Tuesday morning, Thursday afternoon a prayer walk, meeting here at All Saints at 2:15 for a 2:30 start, Friday prayer through art at St. Andrew's, and Friday evening worship music. Drop in, join, listen, just be. And Sunday, well, obviously next Sunday morning we'll have a service as usual, but next Sunday evening, the deeper at 6, it doesn't actually say where it is, but it is here. I knew it was here, and it was only when I looked at the slide that I thought, they haven't said where it is. Oh, it does say. Hang on. Oh, that's better. Yeah, here at 6. Looking further ahead, regional celebration with new wine on the 4th of June, evening worship at All Saints in Worcester. And some of you will already have seen that we are being invited to share with a couple who live at Wellsprings and find rest and on June the 27th, The Significance of Silence. Look on the notice sheet and you'll find more details about those things. So those are the things that will enable each and every one of us to worship God more fully in the days and the weeks ahead. For today, we will continue with our study of Paul's letter to the Colossians and what it is to live a Christ-centered life. And today we will be particularly rejoicing in the fact that each and every one of us is alive in Christ. So we'll join together in an opening prayer as we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. O Lord, open our lips, shall proclaim your praise. So if we are able, let's stand and proclaim the Lord's praise. Come, now is the time to worship. And if you remain standing, we will move on just to sing another song and remind ourselves just who it is that we are worshipping. We are worshipping a risen Lord, a risen and ascended Lord, and we crown him with many crowns. Like to sit down. We are still in the Easter season. Technically, this is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and we remember that Jesus is alive, he did rise, and we have an Easter candle because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So let's put that safely up there to focus on during the service as we think Jesus is alive. He is risen. He has ascended and he is in glory as the light of the world. And the prayer, the collect for today, the seventh Sunday of Easter. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as we remain in a token, in a place of prayer, knowing that we are alive in Christ, we have sung those words, come, just as you are. None of us is so good that we don't need to come to Christ, and none of us is so bad that we can't come to Christ. So as we reflect on the things that have gone wrong in the past week, we come to confess that we haven't always got it right. We have done and said and failed to do and failed to say the things that would really please God. And we are sorry, and we do repent, and we come just as we are, as we confess together, saying, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, slow to anger and forgiving all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we'll have a reading from Colossians, after which Jeff will come and be speaking to us.
The reading is from Colossians 2, verses 6 to 15. And the Church Bible begins on page 1183. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulation that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please will you take my words and speak through them. Will you take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and fill them full of love for you. in Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have heard the well-known story of the art collector's son, how a certain art dealer had over the years built up a personal collection of some of the world's greatest masterpieces, Rembrandt, Gauguin, Cézanne. And he housed these wonderful paintings in his country house at home, where he'd built this beautiful gallery. And he would often go and look at them. But right at the heart of his collection, in the very central place, there was a painting, a portrait, not a particularly good portrait, but it was a portrait of the art dealer's only son, who had died some years before. And good as the other paintings were, he loved that painting. Well, time went by, and eventually the art dealer died, and he'd left it in his will that all his paintings were to be sold at auction in the country house. And the day came, and the great and the good of the art world came to view these wonderful masterpieces. Of course, they saw the portrait of the art dealer's son, but it wasn't much, so they didn't pay it any attention. And then came the auction, and the auctioneer stood up and he said, "Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin with the portrait of the art dealer's son. Who will give me £10,000? Everybody looked at one another and were rather embarrassed, really, because it wasn't a particularly good painting. £1,000, said the auctioneer. Nobody said a word. Well, who'll give me £100 for it? And a man at the back put up his hand and said, "Let's get this out of the way so we can get on with the proper stuff. I'll give you £100. Sold to the gentleman at the back for £100, the portrait of the art collector's son. And then, everybody was buzzing with excitement, the auctioneer said, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our business for this afternoon." And everybody looked at one another and said, "What do you mean? We've come from miles to bid on these paintings." And the auctioneer said, "Well, as it happens, the art collector left in his will that whoever bought the painting of his son should have all the other paintings for free. Whoever has the son has everything." And it seems to me that that's the message that the Apostle Paul is trying to hammer home to the Colossian Christians. If you have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you've got it all. All the fullness of God, all the treasures of God in the Son. Now, why did Paul feel the need to go on and on about this? Which he does in his letter to the Colossians. Well, as we've seen in previous weeks, he was worried about the Colossians. They were in grave danger of being taken captive by some false teachers. And this is what he said in his reading. "See to it no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Jesus Christ." Some false teachers had obviously got into the congregation there and were peddling what someone has rather appropriately called a bogus spirituality, which was threatening to poison the pure gospel that they'd received. Now, we don't know all the details of this false teaching, but we can get a pretty good guess from what Paul says. It would appear that these false teachers were not denying Jesus Christ as the starting point of the Christian life, but they were saying things like, "Well, if you really want to get into the Premier League, if you want to be super spiritual, you need some extras." Paul calls this bogus spirituality. They probably called it bonus spirituality. And they were saying things like, "Well, you need to have faith in Christ, yes, but you've got to keep the Jewish law as well." And they may even have been saying, "You have to honor the pagan gods as well as Christ, as you used to." You've got to observe things like circumcision and diet laws and festivals that are there in the Jewish tradition. If you really want to have all the fullness of God and be a real Christian, a total Christian, then you need these extras. It was a subtle mix, really, of the gospel with other faiths and other spiritual ways. And Paul is seriously worried about this. This toxic brew is threatening to poison their faith. And anyway, says Paul, it's no use whatsoever. Because if you've got Christ, you've got all the fullness of the deity. If you've got Christ, you've been brought to fullness. And he's the head over everything else, over every other so-called God or power. You can't go higher than Jesus Christ. Whoever has the Son has everything. Well, you may say, surely there is more to the Christian life than simply believing in Jesus, isn't there? Aren't we encouraged to go deeper? Aren't we encouraged to go higher and have more? And Paul wouldn't disagree with that. But the more isn't more of the religious add-ons that were threatening to seduce the Colossians. Yes, there's more. It's more of Christ. And Paul makes this very point in our reading when he says, you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught. Now, back in chapter 1, if you remember in Colossians, the Apostle Paul has spelt out all the blessings there are with receiving Christ as your Saviour. And he listed them in chapter 1. He said, when you've received Christ, you get forgiveness of sins, you get the gift of eternal life, you get the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, you get freedom, you get strength. Wonderful blessings that Jesus Christ, your Saviour, will give to you when you put your faith in him. But that's only the beginning. You've got to go on from there, because Jesus Christ is not just your Saviour, he is also your Lord. And that's a different ball game in many ways. It's a big extension. Because, yes, be thankful for the blessings you've received from your Saviour. Now, start treating him as your Lord. You've got to submit to him. You've got to obey him. You've got to live under his lordship day by day. And that may well mean saying to him, not what I want, but what you want. Let that be done. We have to acknowledge his lordship in every area of our lives. How I spend my time. How I spend my money. What I watch on TV. What I read. I have to consult with my Lord about all these things. If he's really going to be in control of my life. I'm rooted in him. I must grow in him. Is there more? Oh yes, plenty more. More of Christ as your Lord, as well as your Saviour. It's a life-changing journey. Somebody once likened becoming a Christian to having a baby. It's not a very good illustration, to be honest with you, and it won't resonate with everybody. But you get the point. Life goes on quite happily, and then this baby arrives and turns your life upside down. Yes, it's a joy, but you can no longer do what you want. You cannot sleep when you want. You may think you're in charge of your life, but that little bundle of joy is now in control and dictating pretty much everything. And if you ignore it, it screams. Well, it's not a very good illustration, but you get the point. Something happens when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, which completely changes our lives, if we're prepared to do that. So is there more? Yes, plenty more. but not the kind of more that the Colossians were being seduced by. You see, the truth is, you cannot mix Christ with any other religion or faith or spiritual path at all. You cannot do it because the two are virtual opposites. And I want to try and make this point as I finish. I want to illustrate this. You'll have seen this illustration many times before. If you want a definition of religion, this is a pretty good definition. Religion is humans seeking God or seeking the gods or seeking some philosophical principle, searching for it, trying to reach it in order to win favour in this life and a reward possibly in the next. And in order to seek God, you're told that you have to keep certain religious rules and observe certain rituals. It is a movement from here to there. Christianity is the very opposite of that. It's nothing to do with humans seeking God. It's all to do with God seeking us, trying to win our hearts when we'd rather ignore him, coming to us in the Lord Jesus Christ as an act of sheer grace to the undeserving. You cannot mix those two, although it's very popular now to try and do it, to have what someone described to me as a fruitcake religion, a bit of everything to make it more tasty. Can't be done. C.S. Lewis put it quite well when he said this: religion is what humans say about God. Christianity is what God does about humans. John Stott, who's a great teacher, was a great teacher, written many books, he said this: no other religion proclaims a free forgiveness and a new life to those who've done nothing to deserve it. On the contrary, all other systems teach some sort of self-salvation through good works. Christianity, by contrast, is not a religion at all, he says, but good news about God's grace. You really can't mix it with anything. Now, that doesn't mean that we should have no respect for other religions and people of other faiths. Of course we should. We owe everyone the love and respect that Christ has for them. We can't hope ever to help other people come to know Christ if we don't live in peace and harmony with them. But the idea that you can mix Christ with other things is, well, it's nonsense, really. The simple fact is, whoever has the Son has everything. Yes, we need to make Jesus more and more the Lord of our lives day by day, submitting our decisions to him and being guided by him. But don't let anyone ever persuade you that you're not a true Christian because you haven't had some sort of higher spiritual experience. That is not true. If you have Christ, you have everything. Everything. The challenge, of course, is how to make him my Lord as well as my Saviour. So let's bow our heads and take a moment of quiet to reflect. To what extent is Jesus, I know he's my Saviour, to what extent is he truly my Lord? Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. And our next song picks up that theme. All I once held dear, it's worthless. Thank you.
Let us pray. I'm going to start with one of the Thy Kingdom Come prayers, because the slides have been prepared before I got this far. The particular response for these petitions isn't on the screen, sorry. But when I say, so we pray, can you reply, come Holy Spirit? So I'll say, so we pray. Amen. Almighty God, we pray that you would renew your church with your reviving power. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. Loving Father, we commit ourselves to pray for you to work, to excite and animate your church through the world, to proclaim the good news of Jesus. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Lord of our lives, we commit ourselves personally to seek your empowering and enabling. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Friend of sinners, we long that you would work powerfully to win our friends and families to become followers of Christ. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Gracious Lord, we recognize how much we need your help to witness to your grace and mercy. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Hear the cry of our hearts, Almighty God. Gather us in prayer and send us out in power. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. And now we can return to the response on the screen. And we pray today particularly for our friend Janet Finch, as she has her replacement hip operation tomorrow at Redditch. And Lord, Lord, we pray that you will give skill to the surgeons, that you will give peace to Janet, and that you will grant good healing and limited pain. Remember others in ill health, especially remember Shirley. And we pray for Derek too, as he remains strong for her. We think of Shirley Noble and Frank. Lord, we ask you to enfold them all in your love and peace. Lord, in your mercy. And in this Mental Health Awareness Week, Lord, we pray for all who are struggling and finding life tough. We pray for the world to have a greater understanding and acceptance of mental health. And we pray that there will be the funding that is needed. Lord, you made us with emotions. Teach us to recognize them. Teach us all to cast our burdens and our anxieties on you. And teach us to trust you and to leave the problems with you. And grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray particularly for the many young people in our church and others who are known to us, who are doing exams. Lord, there's a large number within our church. and we pray for each one of them. We pray for peace and calmness. Pray that you'll grant them good health and good rest and sleep. Grant them good memory and clarity of thought. We pray too for the families at this stressful time, that you will help them to support their children. And we pray for good outcomes and guiding for their future, for each of them, for what you have planned for them. Lord, in your mercy. And we continue to think about schools, and we pray for our schools locally and for all who work in them. We pray, God, that you will sustain and strengthen them through the stresses of their jobs and help them to create happy and secure environments where all the children can thrive. We pray too for many in our churches who serve as school governors. Thank you, Lord, for their skills and knowledge. Bless and guide them as they serve in this way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And too, Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that as Christians we have locally to offer Christian-based activities to our primary schools. And Lord, there's many things coming up these next few months, and we pray especially for Life Path held at the Priory for 500 plus children in that week, reflecting on the life of faith of medieval monks, but also how faith affects people today. And we pray for help and guidance for all the planning these final weeks, for those who will be involved, for health and safety for the children, but especially that all their children and teachers will, the seeds will be planted in their lives that can grow into faith. And we pray similarly for Seeds of Life later on in July and for other activities organised by other churches in this town. Lord, we have this opportunity to plant the seeds, to teach children about faith and about the Bible. We thank you. Help us to use these opportunities and strengthen all those involved, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And thinking of schools, many of us here know Ness, and we would thank you, God, for her, and we pray for her in her current role as chaplain at Dyson Perrin School, and with roles in the local primaries as well. Lord, we thank you for Dyson Perrins. We thank you that faith is now more obviously part of the life of that church school. And we pray that you will bless and guide Ness as she develops her role there, interacts with staff and with pupils, Lord. Pray for her to be salt and light there, Lord, and encourage her and strengthen her, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we pray for ourselves, using some of the words that Paul prayed for the Colossians. Lord God, we ask you to fill us all with the knowledge of your will. Grant us wisdom and understanding, and strengthen us with your great power. May we be rooted and grounded in you, and teach us to rejoice and be thankful. Lord, we pray in your name. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand as we share the peace of Christ with one another. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And as we come to our time of communion and we're sharing the peace around the church with one another, let's remember that here is love vast as the ocean.
Please would you sit or kneel for our communion prayer and join in the responses in the white. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. This day we give you thanks because in fulfillment of your promise, you pour out your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts, leading us into all truth, and uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith. Your Spirit gives us grace to call you Father, to proclaim your gospel to all nations, and to serve you as a royal priesthood. Therefore, we join our voices with the angels and archangels, and with all those in whom the Spirit dwells, to proclaim the glory of your name, for forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
So we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And for our final hymn, the language may seem a little old-fashioned to some of us, but it starts off with that good proclamation, forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. And it finishes with those words which are good for all of us, that we will closely walk with him to heaven. Let's stand if we are able and sing, forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. Thank you. recognize that out of your great bounty you have given us so many things. And now we offer you these tokens to be used to your glory and the building of your kingdom. Use us, use these gifts for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may like to hold out your hands to receive even more of God's bounteous goodness. And the Lord bless us and watch over us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look kindly on us and give us peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.